Translation. After seeing Panchapsara, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Gokarna. While there, he visited the temple of Lord Shiva and then he went to Dvaipayani. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the crown jewel of all sannyasis, then went to Suruparaka Tirtha. Purport. Gokarna is situated in North Kannada in the Karnataka state. It is about 33 miles southeast of Karwar. This place is very famous for the temple of Lord Shiva known as Mahabaleshwara. Hundreds and thousands of pilgrims come to see this temple. Surparaka is about 26 miles north of Bombay. In the Maharashtra province near Bombay is a district known as Thana and a place known as Sopara. Surparaka is mentioned in the Mahabharata Shanti Parva, chapter 41, verses 66 to 67. Text number 281. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then visited the town of Kolhapur, where he saw the goddess of fortune in the temple of Kshira Bhagavati and saw Lang Ganesha in another temple known as Chora Parvati. Purport. Kolhapur is a town in the Maharashtra province, formerly known as Bombay Pradesh. Formerly, Kolhapur was a native state and it is bordered on the north by the district of Satara, on the east and south by the district of Belgaum, and on the west by the district of Ratnagiri. In Kolhapur, there is a river named Urna. From Bombay Gazette, it is understood that there are about 250 temples there, out of which six are very famous. These are Ambabai or Mahalakshmi Mandir, Vithoba Mandir, Temblai Mandir, Mahakali Mandir, Phirangai, Pratyangira Mandir, and Yalamba Mandir. And now we are on text number 282. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. From there, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Pandharpur, where he happily saw the temple of Vitthala Thakur. Purport. The city of Pandharpur is situated on the river Bhima. It is said that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu initiated Tukaram when he visited Pandharpur, and thus Tukaram became his disciple. Tukaram Acharya became very famous in the Maharashtra province, and he spread the Sankirtan movement all over the province. The Sankirtan party belonging to Tukaram is still very popular in Bombay and throughout the province of Maharashtra. Tukaram's book is known as Abhanga. His Sankirtan party exactly resembles the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sankirtan parties, for they chant the holy name of the Lord with Mridanga and Kartals. The Lord Vitthal Dev, mentioned in this verse, is a form of Lord Vishnu with two hands. He is Narayana. Om Adnyanti Vrandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Miritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah. Namaham Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschata Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So as we saw, there are three texts that we are reading today and three different purports. Before I start, should we discuss katha or should we discuss tattva or a mix of both or katha? Okay. Smar Hari Prabhu was the first one to answer. Both? Both? Maybe a little bit of both, but katha mainly, okay? Fine. So, katha actually makes sense or is more relishable when the tattva is understood. Isn't it? Those who are connoisseurs, you know what a connoisseur is? It's a French word for one who understands taste. So if you are a food taster, then if you know exactly what the recipe is and how the different ingredients are, you taste it better. Otherwise, all you can say is, it's good, not so good, not at all good. Yeah. So both tattva and katha is good. Okay, let's start with some tattva then. So in terms of katha, we can see that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is traveling through South India. And he's going to go to these places. What are the places he goes to? In these three verses, Gokarna. So I'll speak a little bit about Gokarna and the pastime of Gokarna. Then he goes to Dvaipayani, which is actually same place near Gokarna. Some people think that Dvaipayani here refers to Bombay, but I'll tell you why it does not refer to Bombay. Chaitanya Bhagavat, Antyalila, I believe. Nityananda Prabhu's journey, he says, Dvaipayani Arya Dekhi Nityananda Rai. So, Dvaipayani Arya means it is a temple of Durga Devi, which is there in Gokarna. And then Mahaprabhu goes to, from there, he goes to Surparaka Tirtha. Very ancient. Surparaka Tirtha is very, very old. From previous yuga, Treta Yuga, from Ramchandra's time, Surparaka Tirtha is there. So Yudhishthir Maharaj also went there. We'll discuss some pastimes about Surparaka Tirtha. Then Kolhapur. Mahaprabhu went to Kolhapur where Mahalakshmi Mandir is there. Very important. And there's a pastime that you all know which is directly connected to this place, Kolhapur. And finally, Pandharpur, where there is Vitthal Dev. So as Smara Hari Prabhu has requested, I'll speak some katha on each one, as far as my memory allows me. But the tattva is this. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as a Supreme Personality of Godhead, traveled to South India for two reasons, an external reason and an internal reason. What was the external reason? To preach. Actually, that is more of a internal reason. External reason is? Yes, Prabhu. There associates, yeah. There is an external reason, there's an internal reason, and there is a hidden reason. So I'll tell you all three. The external reason is Chaitanya Chaitamrita Madhya Leela, chapter 7, verse 11. Mahaprabhu says, Bishparupe Uddeshe Abhasya Ami Jabo. For finding my brother Vishwarup, where is he? That is why I need to go to South India. External reason. Ekaki jaibo koho sanghe na laibo. I will go ekaki. I will go alone. I will not take anyone with me. I will go all by myself. Of course, then Nityananda Prabhu reasons it out and says, well, Mahaprabhu, how will you go alone? You have to carry at least your kopin, your water pot and your danda. But there is a problem. What is the problem? Problem is, with one hand, your left hand, you are always counting how many rounds you are chanting. And with the right hand, you are chanting. So both hands are busy. But you need a water pot, otherwise you will drink some water and get sick. And you need your kopin, at least one pair. So that means you need some person. So like that he reasons out. And then he says, oh, there is a very simple Brahmin by the name of Krishnadas. Please take this simple boy with you. And Mahaprabhu concedes. Anyway, so that was that. But the external reason, he says, Vishwarupa Uddeshe. To find my brother Vishwarupa, I'll go to South India. But then Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami gives the internal reason. Internal reason is given in same chapter 7, text 13. He says, Vishwarupa Siddhi Prapti Jane Na Shokol. Mahaprabhu knew that Vishwarupa has had Siddhi Prapti. Siddhi Prapti means he has left this mortal world and gone back to Godhead. Still, Dakhino Desha Uddharite Koren Ei Chal. Chal means cheating, trick. Dakhino Desha Uddharite. Dakhino Desh means south, South India. To deliver people in South India, which is actually the heart of all the philosophical systems in India. Shankaracharya came from South India, Kerala. Madhvacharya from Karnataka, South India. Vishnu Swami from Telangana, South India. Nimbarkacharya. There are two views. One view is he came from Andhra, South India. Another view is he came from North. Who else? Ramanujacharya. Again, Tamil Nadu, South India. So South India is a hub of all the philosophical systems. So he wanted to go to the South Indian region to preach to the people of South India. But there is one more reason, super confidential reason. So, like Jesus Christ says in the Bible, that he is a fisher of men. He's not a fisherman. He's a fisher of men. He goes, casts out his net and fishes men. Similarly, Mahaprabhu went to find two things. To find his internal associates and reunite with them. Ramananda Rai, Gopala Bhatta Goswami, so many, you know. To find his internal associates and bring them to him, number one. Number two, to find the most confidential scriptures which were lost. What are they? Two. Huh? Brahma Samhita chapter 5. We only have chapter 5. The current Brahma Samhita is only chapter 5. And what was the second? Huh? Krishna Karnamrita of Bilva Mangal Thakur. These books Mahaprabhu would read every day for the rest of his manifest pastime. So for these two super confidential reasons, he was feeling separation from his associates, so he went to bring them. And generally speaking, why do great souls go to Tirthas? What do you think? To purify themselves. To purify the... No, I didn't get that. Purify who? Oh, the Tirthas themselves are being purified, yeah. That is true. Yudhishthir Maharaj, you see, Vidura was driven away by Duryodhan. Vidura was driven away by Duryodhan. And actually there are beautiful commentators who have said, you know, like we have a saying in English, the straw that broke the camel's back. Yeah. He could carry everything but one straw and that's it. So if you see, even devotees are driven out or they are mistreated. You could be a very big person. You could be the Lord of the three worlds like Ravana. Ramchandra, the monkeys were, you know, monkeys are always very anxious and they're always jumping here and there. So the monkeys were quite keen to attack Lanka. They already reached on the other side from the Triveni Sangam, which is in South India. They built a bridge to Sri Lanka. And they were already on the other side now. But Ramchandra said, let's camp here. So the monkeys were jumping up and down. No, no, let's attack, let's attack. Ramchandra said, no, camp here. Why? Nobody understood why. Ramchandra confidentially told his brother Lakshman and Hanuman, there is something that Ravana has because of which I cannot attack him. He still has something. There is someone in his kingdom. And that someone was his brother Vibhishan, who was a great devotee of Ram. Until Vibhishan was there, Ramchandra said no. But when Vibhishan was driven out, Vibhishan simply said, please, brother, give away. This is not your wife. You are claiming somebody else's wife. Just give her back respectfully and Ramchandra will forgive you. You fool, you think that I will be subordinated by a Vanavasi? He was so angry. I would rather send you away to join that Vanavasi. So get out of my kingdom immediately. Otherwise, suffer death. So Vibhishan was removed and that is it. The straw that broke the camel's back. Similarly, in the kingdom of Duryodhan, Vidura, the great devotee, was still a minister for Dhritarashtra. And until Vidura was there, the war would not result in a favorable situation, the result of the war. So Duryodhan, of course, at one point kicks Vidura out, we see in Bhagavatam. And he says, you are like a shmashana. You are simply like a crematorium. Unclean, unworthy, a place, a person whom nobody cares about, nobody visits. How many times do we go to crematorium? Unless there's a death, we don't, right? We don't just, oh, let's go to a picnic to the crematorium. We don't do that, right? So, useless. So he calls him shmashana. The word is used. So Vidura is kicked out. When Vidura is kicked out, the last devotee who was holding on the kingdom is kicked out. You know, actually we think this world is going on by the endeavors of so many people. There's the most powerful president of the United States and the prime minister of the UK and this and that and the other. Or when you think, oh, actually, you know, it's the demigods, the Indra, Varuna, Agni, they are the ones. But in Padma Puran it says, actually, the world is held together by the force of the devotion of one single devotee. Even one single devotee is the one that will hold the world. Otherwise, Lord Shiva will start dancing and everything is finished. So that is the power of a devotee. So these great souls, Yudhishthira Maharaj, when Vidura is driven away, he comes back. Yudhishthira Maharaj in 1st Canto, chapter 13. Yudhishthira Maharaj is asking Vidura, please tell us, where did you visit? And please tell us, did you go to Dwarka? Please tell us how Krishna is. That was the real motivation. But in glorifying Vidura, Yudhishthira Maharaj says, Bhavad Vida Bhagavata. Bhagavatas, great devotees like you. Bhavad Vida Bhagavata. Tirtha bhutaha swayam vibho. You yourself are tirtha. You yourself are a place of pilgrimage. A person, a place of pilgrimage. Why? Tirthi kurvanti tirthani. Tirthi is one who is a great devotee. He himself is the embodiment of all places of pilgrimage. Once Srila Prabhupada was saying how he's so far away from Vrindavan in Los Angeles. And Satsuru Maharaj, who was with him at the time, he simply remarked to Prabhupada after, this was a private conversation, he said, but Prabhupada, wherever you are, that is Vrindavan, isn't it? And Srila Prabhupada pondered for a moment and he said, yes. So a devotee carries the dham with him or with her. So here, Tirthi Kurvanti Tirthani Swantaha Sthena Gadaha Bhritaha. You see, the devotee is very special. Have you heard of touchstone? How many of you have heard of touchstone? What does a touchstone do? See, the most precious thing in this world is, they say, of all the precious metals, well, I know now, they say rhodium and platinum and all these, but gold is traditionally the most precious metal. But there is something which can actually immediately produce gold. What is that? Parasmani. Parasmani is, in simple words, it's touchstone. A touchstone touches something and it becomes gold. If it's any other metal, it'll become gold. That is the power of touchstone. So are devotees like touchstones? Yes or no? Whatever they touch becomes gold. Yeah? How many of you say yes? How many of you are awake? Okay. Right. So how many of you say that devotees are like touchstone? They touch something, it becomes gold. Yeah? What if I said no? Huh? Yes, Ram Narasinghe Prabhu, you had your hand up. Prabhu was saying, do you want to say something? Pure devotees are like touchstone. We do have that comparison, but actually there's a great saint in the Nimbarka Sampradaya. He rejects this idea. And he says, well, they are not touchstone. They are better than touchstone. Why are they better than touchstone? A touchstone can touch something and it becomes gold. But a devotee touches another person and he or she becomes a devotee. A touchstone cannot produce another touchstone. But a devotee is so powerful. Tirthi Kurvanti Tirthani. Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, chapter 13, verse 10. Tirthi Kurvanti Tirthani. A Tirthi is so powerful, he can make Tirtha. A Tirthi, a devotee is so powerful, he can actually make another Tirtha. Who can make another Tirtha? So this is the power, the beauty of a devotee. That is why the devotees are traveling all over the world. So, anyway, we see some verses are there. We'll ignore those. And the devotees' association, and I'll stop there. The tattva I will stop, and then we'll go to katha by popular demand. One more thing I must say about the power of a devotee. Sometimes we actually, the entire Krishna consciousness movement rests on the principle of association with devotees of the Lord. I don't know if you've heard of Srinathji Das, Srinathji Prabhu. He was Dr. N.D. Desai in Bombay, a very wealthy personality, a billionaire. He used to be Srila Prabhupada's chauffeur, but he was still not sure if Prabhupada is a pure devotee. He would always try to, he would drive Prabhupada around in Bombay, but he didn't take initiation from Prabhupada. He later on took initiation from Kirtan Swami and then from His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj. So Srinathji Prabhu once was in one of the Asian countries. I want to keep it discreet. He was in one of the Asian countries and he met a foreigner who looked somewhat similar to someone he knew in the past. So he approached him and he said, have you met before? Have I seen you before? And this man said, yes. I was part of the Krishna consciousness movement and my name was such and such Swami. And then Srinathji Prabhu said, oh, Maharaj, what happened? we all know you drifted away. What happened? And he said, actually, somebody had gifted me a golden Rolex. And at some point, by the way, I heard this from Srinathji Prabhu's mouth. And he wasn't as discreet as I am being here. So he actually mentioned names and all, but and where he met, etc. But the golden Rolex that this sannyasi had, he just got a little bit attached to that Rolex. And once he misplaced it, and he became so bewildered. And then he thought he has to somehow get more money to buy that Rolex back. And that whole thing started his drifting away. And then so many mistakes he made. So Srinathji Prabhu asked him, so if you reflect back, what was one thing that was the cause of your drifting away? What was that one thing? And this ex-sannyasi, he said, if I deeply reflect and I've done this deep soul searching, I can tell you it was my lack of association. I wasn't associating with anyone more senior than me. I wasn't associating with peers. The only people I was associating with were those who were junior to me, those who respected me. So I think having someone in our life who is a, you know, who we can put some confidence in, who we can associate with is so important. So, the power of a devotee's association. Parikshit Maharaj tells Shukdev Goswami, thank you for coming. What to speak of hearing from you? He says, Yesham samsmaranat pumsam. Yesham samsmaranat. Simply thinking of a great soul. Simply thinking of Srila Prabhupada and his pastimes. Simply thinking of a great soul. Sadhyah shudhyanti vaigriha. Your entire existence is purified simply by thinking of a great soul. You don't have to associate even. We all think associate means the physical association alone. But here, yesham samsmaranat. Samsmaranat also, there is a... Anyway, each verse we can give a class. So, I have to control my horses. So, samsmaranat. Krishna is controlling as kala, the time. So, okay. Samsmaranat here, Acharya's explained, samsmarana also means thinking of a devotee in a way that is glorifying their service to the Lord. Not thinking of, I know David. He's an Irish boy. He's always running around. I never see him with bead bag. He's not good. He's this, that. This is not thinking of a devotee. You may be thinking of him, but you're doing apradh. You're going away from devotional service. So here, sam smaranat. Sam is a prefix, which means samyak ritya smaranam iti sam smaranat. So, thinking of him in relation to the great service he's rendering for the Lord and for the other devotees. So simply by thinking of him, sadhyah, immediately, shudhyanti, one becomes purified, vaigraha, only do you become purified? No, your entire existence becomes purified. Your entire existence becomes purified, your household becomes purified. Kim punar darshana sparsha. And then, as if asking a rhetorical question, Parikshit Maharaj says, Kim punar? If simply by remembering a devotee, we feel so purified, then what to speak of? Kim punar? Darshana sparsha. Darshana, what to speak of seeing a devotee? How much purification that would result? Better than just thinking is actually being able to see the devotee. Better than seeing is to be able to touch that devotee. Sparshana. Pada saucha asanadi bihi. Better than just touching that devotee is to wash his feet. Pada saucha. It has again two meanings. Follow his instruction also is another meaning. And asana dibihi. And the last is, better than that is giving him an asan. What does that mean? You see a devotee, give him a seat and walk away. No. I give him asan. No. Giving a devotee an asan means taking a subordinate position and hearing from him. That is the highest. So, all of these activities are very purifying. And this is why the devotees that travel throughout the three worlds, like Narad Muni. Okay, I have a few other things I desire to say, but let us go to some katha. Okay, I have some time, yes. So, because there are... I'll have to check why three verses are given with three purports. I think one verse with purport is good enough for me to cover the entire class. So, quick, Gokarana. Some of these are beautiful pastimes, yeah? So, Gokarana Tirtha. It's in Karnataka, in India. West Coast. Southwest coast of India. So Gokarana Tirtha, the pastime is this. Very quick. It's a long pastime. So I have to say pastimes of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 places. So very quick. Ravana, his mother, Ravana's father was Vishrava. He was a great rishi. His mother was Kaikeshi, one with beautiful flowing hair. That's how he attracted Vaishwara. You think, I'm not attracted to a woman, I'm not attracted to a man. But the reality is, one little swish, one little move might be attractive, yeah, of the opposite sex. Whether they have hair or not, doesn't matter. It is always, there are so many ways one becomes attracted. So Kaikeshi, she actually got Vishrava, who was a great sage, knowing the three Vedas, he could fall in trap of Kaikeshi, who was the daughter of a demon. So she was a demoness. But she got married to the sage, and the reason she got married to him was because she wanted a child who was as powerful as a sage, but as notorious as a demon. So we had Ravana. Now Kaikeshi was a great devotee of Lord Shiva. And once Indra thought that if this lady continues with her worship like this, then my position will be in trouble. So he's a man of position, right? Indra. So he stole the Shivalinga that Kaikeshi used to worship. And when Ravana found out, Ravana said, "Mother, don't worry. I will pray to Lord Shiva and get guidance from him and find a new Shivalinga for you." So he meditates. I mean, the pastime is very long. I'm giving you like a drop from the lake. So he meditates. Lord Shiva appears, tells him to go to Kailash. In Kailash, there is Atmalinga. Atmalinga means a linga which is formed on its own, like Swayambhu. Like Shaligrams, yeah, like Atmalinga. So, he goes there, he gets the Atmalinga, and Lord Shiva says, "But make sure you don't put this linga down anywhere. From Kailash up to Lanka, you take in one go." So, Ravana says, "That's very easy, I'll just go." So, at that time, all the demigods are thinking, now, if Kaikeshi gets a Shivalinga, the powers of demons will increase. We have to stop this. So they can't do anything. They approach Lord Vishnu. Lord Vishnu says, "With my Sudarshan Chakra, I will cover the skies in such a way that it seems that it is Sandhya." Sandhya meaning evening. So as if the sun has set. So while Ravana is traveling to south, as if the sun has set, he feels it is evening, and so he has to do his Gayatri. He was a great Brahmana. He may be a demon, but he was a Brahmana. Because father was a Brahmana. So he used to wear a Brahmin thread, Gayatri. Next time you see somebody wearing Brahmin thread, can be also Ravana. Brahmin thread doesn't mean anything. Ravana also When he wanted to abduct Sita, he thought so many things. I'll become a prince and I'll attract her. I will become a parrot and I'll attract her. But then he thought, none of this will work. To get her out of the Lakshmana Rekha, I have to become a sannyasi. So Ravana, sannyasi also. So no problem. We can have, your external dress will not matter. Internally there can be Ravanas. Okay, so very careful. So this Ravana, Brahmana, he thinks, oh, now Sandhya time, I have to do my Gayatri. So he looks around. He sees a young, small, very chubby Brahmana boy. Chubby and Brahmana are synonymous. He sees him. He says, hey boy, he's with his cows, milking his cows. Boy, come here, hold this Shivalinga. This chubby Brahmana boy was Lord Ganesha himself. So hold this Shivalinga in your hand until I go in the river, take bath and come. So this boy says, okay, I will do it. But on one condition. As soon as I call out your name, Ravana, 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 3 times I will shout for you. If you didn't come in 3 calls, I'll put the linga and I'll go. He said, okay, no problem. I can come in 1 call. What to speak of 3 calls? So Ravana goes, he removes his clothes and he is inside the river water, you know, taking the bath. Ganesha immediately puts the linga down, then says, Ravana, 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 and runs. So Ravana says, oh, I heard my name. He runs. Somehow he runs. And he sees the linga is down. He becomes so angry with that Brahmana boy. See, Parvati Devi, another swarupa of Parvati, is earth. So Ganesha immediately enters into the earth. And Ravana is not able, he just enters in the earth. And all the cows with him, they were all the devatas. They also enter into the earth. Except the last cow, which was Agni, who was the last one, somehow Ravana manages to catch hold of the ear of that cow. So go means cow, karna means ear. So because that is the place where Ravana caught the ear of the cow, that place is known as Gokarna Tirtha. That linga, then Ravana tries to move that linga. Although he was told by Shiva not to do it. So this is the Gayatri is Brahmanical mindset. But to not follow the instruction of great souls is a demoniac mindset. So Ravana's mindset comes over. He tries to extract that linga. But the linga does not move. He thought that he is very strong, Ravana thought. But the linga does not move. So Ravana gives the linga name Mahabaleshwara. Maha means great, Bala means strength, Ishwara means Lord with great strength. So that Mahabaleshwar linga is the linga that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited in Gokarna Tirtha. Further away is Dvaipayana. Dvaipayana Arya Devi Mandir, which is Durga Devi Mandir. This is Parvati Devi, which gave shelter to Ganesha. Further, there is the Parvati Chora Mandir. Parvati Chora means son of Parvati, which is Ganesha Mandir. So because this pastime took place, there is Shivalinga, there is Parvati temple, and there is Ganesh temple. All these places are there. Then, Chora Ganesh is in Kolhapur, sorry. This is the, what is it called? Akhambi Ganesha Mandir is there. In Parvati temple in Dvaipayani Arya, and then Akhambi Ganesh Mandir is there, near that place. Then Mahaprabhu went to Kolhapur. Oh no, there is one more place. From Gokarna Tirtha, he is going to Dvaipayani, he is going to Surparaka Tirtha. Surparaka Tirtha, I am going to tell you something nice about Surparaka Tirtha, because I think I still have some time. So, Surparaka. What is Shuraparaka? You know, in Treta Yuga, Parashurama. Parashurama, the great incarnation. What did he do? He had a Parashu. Parashu means an axe, a chopper or an axe. And Rama is his name. So because he had a X, there was also Ramachandra at the same time as Parashurama. They were both in the same yuga at the same time, contemporaries. So Parashurama used to carry a Parashu, X. So Parashuram, he wiped the entire Kshatriya clan from the face of the earth, 7 into 3, 21 times. And then all the land of earth belonged to him. But he was actually son of a Brahmana. So he donated the whole earth to Kashyapa Rishi. And Kashyapa Rishi was a Brahmana himself. What are the duties of Brahmana? How many Brahmanas here in the class? Or at least Brahman initiated? Okay, so some of you must know. What are the duties of Brahmana? Patana patana. To study and to preach, to teach others. Then yajana yajana. To perform sacrifice oneself and for others. And dana pratigrahana. Pratigrahana means to take donation, but before that, dana, to give donation. This is Brahmana's duty. Huh? Nowadays, Kali Yuga Brahmana, they don't do any of the first five, but they do very much pratigrahanam. I'm a Brahmana, this is my... See, I'm also telling you all, huh? I'm Brahmana. So please, after the class, give me £10 each. This is the mentality of Brahmana. Pratigrahanam. But dana precedes pratigrahanam. A Brahmana is meant to accept only that much which is necessary for his survival, not more. But he is meant to give everything he possesses, including his knowledge, including his clothes, everything. So this is the system. So here Parshurama, being a Brahmana, he gave everything to Kashyapa. Kashyapa being a Brahmana, he said, what will I do to this earth? So he gave away earth to all the other Brahmanas. And the Brahmana said, what will we do with the earth? They gave different parts of the earth to the Kshatriyas. So that's how the Kshatriyas got back the earth. Anyway, Parshuram did not have a place to stay because he had given all of earth. So the ocean made a little island for Parshurama, where Parshuram and his associates were also Shura. Shura meaning valorous, strong, like Parshuram. They all lived on that island. Now listen carefully. This is beautiful, and I'm probably going to take 5 minutes to connect some histories here. So, Shurparaka, which is mentioned here, is the land of Shurpara. Shurpara. And Prabhupada in the purport, he said, if you remember, Prabhupada in the purport, he says, there is a place near Bombay which is called as Sopara. Or more recently known as Nala Sopara. That is the place in Bombay. Sopara is the place where Parshuram, where Ramatirtha is. Yudhishthir Maharaj also visited that place, Ramatirtha, in Sopara. But there is another connection of Sopara. Are you all awake? Then I'll tell you. Do you want to hear that? Some connection that comes to mind? Yes? No? If yes, say Hari Bol. Oh, that wasn't very enthusiastic. Okay. I'll say it briefly then. So, Sopara, which is the port city, is actually connected with... See, the people of Sopara call it Hopar. Because they pronounce the sa as ha. So it's known as Hopar. If you read the Old Testament, the book of Genesis, if you read the Torah is nothing but the first 5 chapters of the Old Testament, Pentateuch, they call it. Anyway, at one point I studied the Bible and the Torah and the Quran just out of curiosity, because I thought, well, I'm going to come across people who have so many beliefs and backgrounds, so it's good to know. I was born in a Vaishnava family, but it was just out of interest. So I did a systematic study. So In the Bible is mentioned that King Solomon, you know King Solomon? Some of you know, everyone knows? No, don't know Solomon? Okay. So, okay, I'll go all the way up, just very quickly, yeah? Stop me if anyone wants to stop me, but this is, we must know this, yeah? So, we go back, the Abrahamic faith, they come from Abraham. Of course, there are three Abrahamic faiths, which are the Christians, the Jews, and the Muslims, yeah? And all three, the Hebrew word for Abraham is different from the Christian word, the English word Abraham, to the Arabic word. So like Abraham, for example, becomes Ibrahim, Moses becomes Musa, you know, like that. Mary becomes Maryam in Arabic, like that. So, but I'll just tell you the English names. So from Abraham, the sixth generation from Abraham is Moses, who is considered to be the father of Judaism. But Abraham, the story goes like this. And this will probably, I want to come to Solomon and to Surparakha, but the story goes like this. Abraham had a wife named Sarah, and Sarah could not give birth. She was a supposedly barren woman, so she couldn't give birth. And God had given his blessing to Abraham that he will give him riches, land, and progeny. But here he is with Sarah with no progeny. But God cannot lie. So he's a faithful man. And Abraham then keeps praying to God. And Sarah at one point says, well, we have an Egyptian slave whose name is, in English, they call her Hagar. And the Arabic word is Hajar. So Hagar was an Egyptian slave. And Sarah said, well, why don't you marry this slave? She's serving me. You marry her and have a child through her. So at least you will have progeny. At least there will be a lineage for you. So Abraham accepts it. And Abraham then marries Hagar. So you have Abraham, Sarah, and Hagar. Now stay with me because this is going to get interesting. So you have Sarah and Hagar. And Hagar bears a son who is named Ishmael. Ishmael in Arabic and Ishmael in Christianity. So Ishmael is the son of Abraham from the slave lady Hagar. By the way, the Muslims don't consider Hagar to be a slave lady, but an Egyptian princess. But the Judaism and Christianity, they consider her to be an Egyptian slave lady from which Ishmael was born. Ishmael is born as the oldest, the first son. At that time, Abraham prays and says, oh, so my progeny is going to be slave progeny. And so in the Old Testament, you see, God appears and says, don't worry, Sarah will also conceive. And they start laughing, both Abraham and Sarah, disbelieving. How is that possible? But Sarah conceives, and Sarah gives birth to another son, like their first son, Sarah and Abraham, who's known as Isaac. So you have Abraham, Sarah, Hagar. Sarah gives Isaac, Hagar gives Ishmael, okay? This sounds like a biblical class, but anyway, I'll go on for 3-4 more minutes. I want to come to Surparakha because Prabhu doesn't know who Solomon is. So now, if you see this, now here is the thing. From, forget Ishmael. What happens to Ishmael and Hagar? Abraham, after Sarah gives birth to Isaac, Sarah says, you have to keep me here and get rid of this Egyptian slave lady. So Abraham, commanded by God, goes and leaves Hagar and her son Ishmael in Mecca, in Arabia. And in Jerusalem, he lives with, in modern day Israel, Judah, he lives with Sarah, his wife, and Isaac, the son. From Isaac, so from Abraham, number 6 is Moses, who is the father of Judaism. And if you go down further, from Abraham, number 14 is King David. So these are all prophets in their lineage from Isaac. We have a David here. So King David, yeah, he's a very humble king. But King David is, you know, you have the Star of David, the flag of Israel. So King David is the one who establishes Jerusalem. And then David's son is King Solomon. David appeared in 1000 BC. Solomon appeared in 990 BC. And Solomon, King Solomon, his son is Jacob. And Jacob, there's a big pastime which is all biblical. I don't want to go there. But Jacob is given the name Israel, which means one who has struggled with God. And the struggle with God. So that's Israel. That's the name of the modern state of Israel, by the way. But that's the lineage. You have Abraham through Isaac. It comes down to Moses, who is a prophet of the Jews. Then comes down further to King Solomon. Now, why am I mentioning King Solomon? Because then the Bible says in the book of Kings, or if you read the book of Job, or if you read the Genesis, it mentions that Solomon built the first temple of Yehovah, which is God, in Jerusalem. The first temple was built, and the temple was built with beautiful ornate gold and elephant tusks, ivory. The steps were made of ivory. And he brought monkeys to be in the gardens around, and peacocks and sandalwood. And actually, none other than Max Müller, he said that actually Ophir is same as Sopara. Because Sopara is where people call it Hopar. And Hopar is the same as the Ophir of King Solomon. And King Solomon says it took once every 3 years he would bring gold. Where in the world do you find gold and sandalwood and monkeys and peacocks and ivory? One place, one port. It has to be India. So they identified. And then Max Müller gives more reason. He says, if you look at the Hebrew words, for example, he brought monkeys from Ophir. The monkeys are known as, in Sanskrit, they are known as kapi. In Hebrew, they are known as kop. And hapim is what elephant is called. Ibham in Sanskrit is elephant. And similar, tukkiim is in Hebrew, peacock. Anyone speaks Hebrew here? No. Tukkiim is peacock. And shikhim is peacock in Sanskrit. So you see the same words are used. So the Jews who, Solomon's armies and people who brought the things, they actually kept the same words. And then Max Müller goes as far as saying, what is the nail in the coffin which establishes that Ophir was in fact Sopara and in fact it was India, is red sandalwood was only available in India. And red sandalwood is called as Walguka or Walgu in Sanskrit. And in Hebrew it's called Algum. The origin, if you want to know, for example, where the word Pandit in English comes from, you have to just go around the world and find out who calls learned people Pandit. Oh, it's the Indians, so it comes from India, isn't it? Similarly, that's the reasoning Max Müller gives. Anyway, so that's King Solomon. No, not you. You know it. You know who King Solomon is, no? So, now you know who King Solomon is. This King Solomon was trading with Sopara in India. That's the place Mahaprabhu visited. Just for completeness, this Isaac, so if you go from Abraham, 42nd generation, again it depends which book, if you read book of Matthew, it's 42nd, if you read the book of Luke in the Bible, it's the 57th generation, from Abraham, through Isaac comes Jesus. So you have Moses, number 6, and Jesus, 42nd generation. So Jesus is from Isaac's generation, and that's why birthplace of Jesus, Bethlehem is in Israel or West Bank. Same with the burial of Abraham in Hebron in Israel, West Bank. That's also in the same location. And same, they have the first temple. Yeah, the place where Abraham built the first temple. It's all in Israel. Now, on the other side, Ishmael's progeny. If you go thousands of years below, then comes Muhammad, who they call as prophet. So you have that Ishmael lineage is the prophet. Now, for the Jews and the Christians, Jerusalem is the main place. Because that's where God gave all the instructions, Abraham's main place. But for the Muslims, which the religion came much later, however, for them, it's three places. Makkah, Medina, which are both in Saudi. And the third place is Al-Aqsa. Al-Aqsa is the mosque in... Al-Aqsa mosque is in Jerusalem, in Israel. And Al-Aqsa in Arabic means the furthest. The furthest, Al-Aqsa Masjid, the furthest mosque. So they are the furthest mosque there. And why that is important? Because it is said that how Muhammad ascended to heaven, he went from Makkah. In one night, he was taken to Jerusalem, Al-Aqsa Mosque. And from there, the archangel Gabriel, took Muhammad up, ascended to heaven. That's why that place is important. So current crisis, which we see in the world, is the three parties saying, this is the most important place for me, and this is my claim. Anyway, this is just for completeness. I don't have a position here or there. I'm just giving the historical background. This is why the two, but they are all people of the book. So, Mahaprabhu went to Shurparaka. Shurparaka is Parshuram's place. Parashu. Then he went to Kolhapur. Kolhapur, we all know, is a beautiful place of Mahalakshmi. Mahalakshmi Mandir. How that Kolhapur temple came very quickly. So we all know in chapter 89 of 10th canto of Bhagavatam, there is a mention of the pastime of Bhrigumuni. How many of you heard of pastime of Bhrigumuni? Kicking on the chest of Lord Vishnu. I'll not tell you the full pastime. You can go to chapter 89 and read yourself. But when Vishnu's chest is kicked, what does Vishnu do? He begs for forgiveness to Bhrigu and says, I'm so sorry, I did not welcome you. And Bhrigu, in anger, he goes away after some time. Lakshmi Devi was very offended. So she said, my dear Lord, Bhrigu is not a Vaishnava. And actually, if you read Jiva Goswami's commentary of chapter 89 of the 10th canto, Jiva Goswami says, at the point when Bhrigu kicked the chest of Vishnu, he was still becoming a Vaishnava. So by the way, there is something also called as becoming a Vaishnava. Huh? We all think we are Vaishnavas, but maybe we are that becoming a Vaishnava phase, as Jiva Goswami calls Bhrigu. So he kicked the chest of Vishnu, and Mahalakshmi became very, very upset, and she said to Vishnu, you must chastise him. Vishnu said, no, he's a Brahmana, I cannot chastise him. Mahalakshmi becomes upset with Vishnu and leaves Shirsagar. And she comes down to this place called Kolhapur. And she sits here in Kolhapur. So this is Mahalakshmi. That is why in Chaitanya Charitamrita, she is referred as Kshira Bhagavati, the goddess from Shirsagar, because she left Vishnu and came down here. And because then Vishnu tries to bring her back. Please come. My dear darling, please come. Lakshmi Devi says, all your nice words will not affect me. You must chastise this Bhrigu. He says, I cannot. So, Lakshmi says, okay, then I will not come. So, in order to please her, on Venkatachala mountain, Venkateshwara, which is Tirupati Balaji, he appears. And even today, on every Dasera, which is soon coming. Dasara is appearing soon in, I think it is 24th, yeah, soon. On every Dasara, even today, the clothes are sent from Tirupati temple to Kolhapur, Mahalakshmi temple. And in fact, they say if you don't take darshan of Mahalakshmi in Kolhapur and go to Tirupati, Tirupati is not very happy. He wants you first to have darshan of Mahalakshmi in Kolhapur. That is where Mahaprabhu went, Kolhapur. And then from Kolhapur, Mahaprabhu went to Pandharpur. Pandharpur is a beautiful place of Vitthala. Again, very, very intricate, long pastime. There was a... You all know about Vitthala? You know the pastime? How many of you know the pastime? Huh? Nobody knows? You know. Okay. So very briefly then, if it's only one person who knows. Vitthala, Vit in Marathi language is a brick. And Thala means to stop on the brick. So there was a great devotee called Pundalik near the Bhima River in Pandharpur. This devotee, Pundalik, he was very devoted to his parents who were devotees of Lord Krishna. And once Krishna, and this, when did this happen? This happened in Dwapar Yuga. Not now, in Dwapar Yuga. In Dwapar Yuga, once Krishna, it's a long pastime, probably half an hour, I don't have that much time. So, in summary, why Krishna, why Rukmini came there, Krishna came there, we will skip that part. We'll also skip how Pundalik, who was actually a person who hated his parents, became devoted to his parents. Yeah. Somehow, there's a whole pastime, how he became devoted to his parents. He becomes devoted to his parents, so much devoted to him, to both of them, father and mother, that once Krishna comes to his door, he knocks at his door and says that, I'm here. Pundalik tells Krishna, please, I will give you a brick. You wait there on the brick. Stop there. I will attend to you, but let me first attend to my devotee parents. So he attends to his devotee parents, who were both deaf and blind. So they could not understand that Krishna is himself there. He attends to them and he forgets until the next morning that he has asked Krishna to stand outside. And Krishna, being so happy with the nature, the devoted nature of Pundalik, he actually stands there, waits there. So imagine you wait for someone. First you are waiting nicely, then you will make some poses. But ultimately, when are you coming? Isn't it? Isn't it? When are you coming? Like this. So, if you see the deity of Vitthala, he's actually like this. Yeah. If you see on the internet, you can see that, Google the deity of Vitthala, like this. And imagine, Rukmini does not want to, Krishna is absorbed in the thought of Pundalik. She does not want to break that absorption. So Rukmini Devi, generally Radharani, Sita Maharani Devi, they are on the side of the Lord. But Rukmini Devi does not want to disturb Vitthala. So Rukmini Devi stands behind Vitthala. When will this Pundalik come? When will Vitthala be released? So what do you think Rukmini Devi is doing? She is also standing there. In what position? But the deity is behind. So it's not like this is Vitthala and this is Rukmini. There is a temple of Vitthala and then you go behind the shrine, there is another shrine of Rukmini Devi. She is standing exactly behind like this. And this place is called Bhu Vaikuntha. Because the Lord is melted and frozen, just like Jagannath Puri. Jagannath Puri is also Bhu Vaikuntha. Bhu Vaikuntha means a place where the deity has forgotten that they are the deities. So they give access to everyone. So in Jagannath Puri also, I don't know, now I hear that they limit people from going into the Sanctum Sanctorium, which is the inner Garbhagraha. where the deities are. But when I have been in the past many times, even during Rath Yatra and even inside the temple, if you go, you can touch the deities directly, Jagannath deities. Yeah, I've touched Jagannath, Baldev, Subhadra, Sudarshan Chakra, all four of them. Yeah, on the altar, when they were on the altar. Because they are completely absorbed, mad. They are not expecting some kind of distance. Similarly, if you go to Pandharpur, Vitthal Dev, because he is absorbed in Pundalik, anyone, men, women, children, anyone, can go up to the deity, put their forehead on the feet of the deity. This is Dwapar Yuga deity. Of course, Brahmanas are worshipping, but they allow you to go. And I have been there with His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, and you know, so there was a great saint who appeared as a devotee of Vitthala. His name was Tukaram. I have to speak at least something about Tukaram. Anyway, I'm within my time limit, so I'm fine. So, Tukaram was such a devotee that he was always absorbed in the thoughts of Vitthala. See, a great personality, a great devotee, how would you know how great a devotee is? This is a question asked by Garga Muni in one of the Puranas. How do you know how great a devotee is? All devotees are great, but then there is, you know, like all ministers may be powerful, but the prime minister is the most powerful, isn't it? So, how do you know the greatness of a devotee? What is the answer? Any answers? Yes, Prabhu. Jai. They speak in such a way that they are seeing what they are speaking. And it comes to their mouth. Yes. So I'm going to... Yes. So this in gist... Garga Muni says that we know how great a devotee is by understanding how absorbed and dependent he is or she is on the Lord. To the degree one is absorbed and dependent, to that degree one is great. So we have example of such devotee. Have you heard of this sentence? Make me dance, make me dance. Who said this? Prabhupada. Complete dependence. Complete absorption. This is the greatness of a pure devotee. Just those words, make me dance. Oh my Lord, make me dance. So that is complete absorption. Complete dependence. Maam ekam sharanam vraja. This is the exemplification of that statement. This is Srila Prabhupada. So, Tukaram Maharaj was similarly completely dependent. And he had his first wife who passed away because of a famine in Maharashtra. She passed away and then he was forced by his family to marry again to another lady who was known as Jijabai. So this lady was not so interested in Krishna consciousness. She would always tell Tukaram, why are you always absorbed in Vitthala, Vitthala, Vitthala? By the way, Tukaram Maharaj got initiated according to Gaudiya Sampradaya. He took initiation from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he was in Dehu, which is a village near Pandharpur, but not, it takes 1 day, 2 days actually, to walk to Pandharpur. So he was staying near Pandharpur, but not quite in Pandharpur. So Tukaram Maharaj, he was having this wife, Jija, who wanted him to do something and earn some money. Live a nice grihastha life. You know, wives have expectation. But this man was not built for a wife. He was built to become a sannyasi, but somehow he was stuck with a wife. So, what could he do? He agreed. Everything Jija said, Jijabai said. He said, yeah, okay, I will do it. Tukaram Maharaj was told, you get out of the house, do some business, get some money, and only then and then only you should come. I have nothing to feed our children. No food. So Tukaram Maharaj said, okay. And he used to sing his abhangas, as Prabhupada says in the purport. Abhangas are short songs. And he would intersperse those abhangas with Jai Jai Ram Krishna Hari, Jai Jai Ram Krishna Hari. So in the Varkari Sampradaya in Maharashtra, they don't say the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. The Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Instead of that, they just say the three key words, Ram, Krishna and Hare. So, Jai Jai Ram, Krishna, Hari. And they don't say Hare, they say Hari. So, Jai Jai Ram, Krishna, Hari, Vittala, Vittala, Vittala. That's what he was doing. When Tukaram was kicked out by his wife to go out and earn, he went out with his kartals and he was just doing Vittala, 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 all the way on the street. So some boys in the town who wanted to make fun of him, they said, Tuka, can you come and sing for us? So he said, oh, my Vittala is in everyone's heart and Vittala has inspired you to ask me to sing. So I will come and sing. So he sings for the boys. And the boys, just for making fun, they shave his head completely. And Tukaram continues singing, Vittala, Vittala, Vittala. And to make it look funny, they put lime on his head. You know, chuna, lime, white on his head. And then they put him on a donkey. Make him sit on a donkey and put a garland of vegetables made from vegetables. You know, because from the fields, some pumpkin, some aubergine, some vegetables, big, long, thick garland of vegetables. And they ask the donkey to go to the marketplace. And Vittala, 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 he is absorbed. And here this Jijabai, she is also in the market. Now the meeting is going to be very interesting. So you have on the donkey, you have Tukaram with his head white, chanting Vittala, 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 garland of vegetables. And Jijabai, everyone is all crowds are laughing and enjoying, and they are all approaching this scene. And just Jijabai thinks, what is this commotion? Let me go and check out. She goes and she sees her husband sitting on a donkey with garland of vegetables in a white lime on his head. And she immediately pulls him along with the donkey and runs home with him. And she wakes him up from the absorption. And he wakes up and he says, what happened, Jija? And she says, what happened? You don't know what happened? You made such a big show out of, you know, the situation. I felt so bad. And Tukaram says, oh. And she explained all this. She says, oh, Vittala is so kind. So kind. She says, you are still absorbed in your Vittala. After all this. He says, let me explain. You know, our children and you don't even like to sit next to me because I never used to keep my hair. And there is, what do you call it, leak? Lice. The lice in my hair. And so Vittala arranged through these boys to shave off my hair and put lime so even the lice doesn't reappear. And you were complaining that we have no vegetables, no food in the house. Vittala arranged for a garland of vegetables, which will last us for 1 week. How kind is my Vittala? And Jijabai was, oh my God. Then what about this donkey and, you know, our name? So, he said, Jijabai, if you remember, our marriage was very simple. There was no show and pomp. It was just you, me, the Brahmana, two members of your family, and one member of my family. And he always had a desire that I should have come on a horse. You should have had ceremoniously wedded to me. People should have observed us together, walking along, me on the horse, and just see, that desire also of yours, Vitthala, fulfilled. And in the marketplace, as you walked along with me on the donkey, people observed you and me together. You know, so the Lord is so kind. So actually, devotees are like this. This is Tukaram. Tukaram was another person, rare soul. Actually, we know His Holiness Kadambakanand Swami Maharaj, the day he left and the time he left this planet was day after Jagannath Mishra festival. So there is Gaura Purnima, there is Jagannath Mishra festival, and then day after. So after celebrating both, he left this world. But that was the day Tukaram Maharaj left this world, exactly at the same time. How did Tukaram Maharaj leave this world? Vaikuntha plane came personally in front of the whole village. And in Abhangas, he sings, Ami Jato, Amcha Gava. In childhood, we used to learn Marathi in school. Because my upbringing was in Bombay. Local people, you speak Hindi. Those who work with you, work in your house, you speak Marathi. At home, you speak Gujarati and Sanskrit. In school, you speak English. So five languages you were raised with. So that was just... So Marathi was a language we studied. And this is the last meeting of Tukaram with the people. He says, I'm going now. And that time, there is one abhanga I want to say and I will stop the class here. Okay? One abhanga of Tukaram, last abhanga. It's in Marathi, but I'll translate. Jija bai bola, yada lagat tukala. It's very sweet language. This is Marathi, Maharashtrian language. Jija bai is saying, yada lagat tukala. This Tukaram, he's claiming he's going to Vaikuntha. He's going to Vaikuntha. Because before going to Vaikuntha, Tukaram called the whole village and said, my time has come. I'm going to Vaikuntha. The plane is going to come soon. Come. I want to wish you all goodbye. I want to wish you all goodbye. So Jijabai, she was in the house. She said, this guy has gone crazy. Now he is again calling the village. Jijabai bola, yada lagla tukala. She's become crazy. Vaikunthi jayala chala manato lokala. He's telling people everywhere, I'm going to Vaikuntha, I'm going to Vaikuntha. He's completely out of his mind. Tukaram bola jija, mazia tu baiko. But what happened? The plane actually came from Vaikuntha with Vishnudutas. And everyone could see it. This was unbelievable, amazing. In front of everyone's eyes, Vaikuntha plane came. And at that time, he climbed the plane on Vaikuntha, the Vaikuntha's plane, and Tukaram is telling Jijabai, his wife. What is he saying? Tukaram bola Jija, oh Jija, mazia tu baiko, you are my wife. Vaikunthi jayala nako loka cha aiko. Come, join me to go to Vaikuntha. Don't listen to the people. Don't listen to all these worldly things. Come with me. You didn't perform your devotional service, but I am taking you. On my authority you come. This reminds me, Srila Prabhupada was asked, Prabhupada, we have no qualification. How are we performing devotional service without qualification? Prabhupada said, yes, you have no qualification. I have made you qualified. So similarly, Tukaram says, come Jija, come climb the plane. Huh? He says, Tukaram bola Jija, imani baish. Come and sit on this viman, on this plane. What is Jija Bhai saying? Jija Bhai bola, gari dubhati mahish. I still have to milk the buffalo at home. I cannot come with you. Go. She did not go. She did not go to Vaikuntha. So, Mahaprabhu, out of his mercy, went to all of these places. We heard about Gokarna Tirtha, pastime of Ravana. We heard about Shurparaka Tirtha, Parshuram, which is Shurparaka, which is same as Ophir in the Old Testament. It is accepted by all the three faiths, actually, the Muslims, the Jews, and the Christians. Ophir is the place where King Solomon got all his wealth from, which is from India. And these three are together. In Islam, they are known as Ahle Kitab, which means people of the book. They all follow the same lineage of Abraham. We heard that. Then we heard about Kolhapur, beautiful deities of Mahalakshmi, how she became upset and she left the Lord from Kshir Sagar. So Chaitanya Charitamrita refers to her as Kshira Bhagavati. She came and she stayed in Kolhapur. And then finally we heard about Pandharpur, the beautiful Lord Vitthala, who stood there and is still standing there, yeah, waiting for Pundalik. And the great devotee Tukaram, who was initiated by Mahaprabhu. So, such wonderful places Mahaprabhu went to purify the people of those places. But as Yudhishthir Maharaj says, Tirthi Kurvanti Tirthani, to make those Tirthas a Tirtha. That is why Mahaprabhu went to these places. So, thank you very much for listening to me. If anyone has one or two comments, I'll take. Otherwise, we will stop here. Any comments, corrections, questions? No? Yes.
Thank you for a very wonderful class, first of all. Earlier in the class, you mentioned one sloka that this world is not maintained by the demigods, or it's actually maintained by just one pure Vaishnava can maintain it. Could you elaborate that sloka a little bit and how that is?
Yeah. The essence of that is that actually if you think of how the world is going around, what is it that keeps the world in place? It's not all the materialistic things that are going around, but the devotion to the Lord, which, suppose, I'll tell you an easier example. If you have a class of children, everyone is going crazy, naughty, yeah, running around here and there. But one child is sitting and listening to the teacher. The teacher will continue just because of that one child. Oh, there is somebody who is listening, who is worthy of my attention. And that is why this class is worthy of being there. Otherwise, class dismissed. Yeah. In America, if you go to school, at the end of the class, they say, dismissed, class dismissed. All teachers, they say that. So here, also this material world, actually there is nothing in this world worth maintaining. Nothing. But because the pure devotees, plural, of the Lord, it's mentioned in Garuda Puran, Padma Puran. Padma Puran actually speaks it explicitly. Garuda Puran also mentions it, that even the strength of one devotee is enough for the whole world to be maintained. Because that one devotee is the hope through which he will make other devotees. And the Lord says, okay, then there is hope for others. So this world is worthy of being there. Otherwise, if it's a hopeless place, why keep? Destroy. Restart again. Another Brahma, another time. So, this is the meaning of even one devotee. That's why we have to be very careful to not disrespect even that one devotee. Srila Prabhupada says, everyone who comes to the temple is Radha Gokulanda's guest. Now you might think, oh well, this guy was a drunkard. I saw him outside a pub And today he's here. Somehow, Gokulananda, Paramatma in the heart, has brought him here. That person becomes worthy of respect. Of course, then there is a whole question of, does respect mean association? Not necessarily, okay? So otherwise, next week, we find ourselves also in the pub with him. So it's not association, but respect. But anyway, I'll pause there. Okay, thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Samaveda Bhaktavrinda ki. Gaur Premanandi Hari Bol.